book of Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We shall read from verse 31. Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies us. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, and so on. And with the Lord's help, we would endeavor to consider the last few words of verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who also maketh intercession for us. On a previous occasion, several months ago, we endeavored to consider the question and answer in verse 34. First, the question, who is he that condemneth? And it is a rhetorical question. The answer is, no one can condemn. No one can condemn believers. No one can condemn those who are in Christ Jesus. As we have in the first verse of this chapter, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And Paul the Apostle gives four conclusive reasons as to why no one can condemn believers. First, it is Christ that died. The Lord Jesus died the death that sin deserves. He received the condemnation already that sin deserves, and therefore there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who are represented by him, because Christ died the death that their sin deserves. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. And the second reason is that he is risen again. And he finished the work God gave him to do. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And thirdly, Christ is at the right hand of God. The devil's mouth is shut by the power of Christ. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. All power is given unto me, the Savior says. He is at the right hand of God, ruling over all. And the fourth reason that no one can condemn believers is that Christ makes intercession for them. Christ intercedes on the behalf of his people, believers, those who are in Christ, united to Christ by faith. The Lord Jesus intercedes on their behalf. And it is this truth that we would focus upon this evening with the Lord's enabling. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ who also maketh intercession for us. Intercession is making request in behalf of others. Intercession is making request in the behalf of others. And that is what the Lord Jesus does. He intercedes. He makes request in the behalf of his people, in the behalf of believers. How great is our need of Christ and his intercession? It is absolutely necessary that we have a representative, one to intercede on our behalf. Why is it necessary? Because we are sinners. We are sinners and God is holy. Man was originally created upright, having the law of God written in his heart, with power to fulfill it. But he sinned against God, and sin expels from the presence of God. Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden. When the angels sinned, they were cast out of heaven, were they not? Sin separates between us and God. It is our sins that keep us at a distance from God, because God is holy. He is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look upon iniquity. And so if we are to approach the living and true God, if we are to draw near to a holy God, we need a representative. We need one to intercede on our behalf. You see the absolute necessity of the intercession of Christ, one to make request in our behalf. We would also consider the suitability of Christ and his intercession, or we should say Christ and his priesthood. The Lord Jesus is the great high priest, and he makes intercession in his office as priest. We could think about the question that the Shorter Catechism has: how did Christ execute the office of priest? Christ executed the office of priest in his once offering up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God, and in making continual intercession for us. So Christ makes intercession in his office of priest. And we read in Hebrews chapter 7, in the chapter that we read, verse 26, "For such an high priest became us." Such an high priest became us. That is, such an high priest, or this particular priest, this great high priest, the Lord Jesus, the great high priest, became us. That is, he is suitable to our need. Such an high priest is fitting for us. We thought about the Savior and his suitability to our need. We need a righteousness, and Christ has righteousness. We need one to represent us who has satisfied the justice of God. And that is what Christ has done by his sacrifice. And in verse 26 we read that such an high priest became us who is holy. The Lord Jesus is a priest who is suitable and fitting for us because he is holy. And God is holy, and we are sinners. And if we are to approach the living and true God who is holy, we need a holy representative. One to represent us who is holy. And so Christ is a high priest who becomes us, who is suitable to us, because he is holy. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. I was thinking earlier today how helpful it is to meditate on the holiness of Christ. At first glance, you might think, well, the holiness of Christ, the holiness of God, the holiness of Christ who is God, that might cause us to shrink back. But no, we're thinking about the holiness of Christ, the holiness of him who is both God and man, whom God chose to be our representative. Christ is holy, and therefore he can approach God with acceptance by God. And he is Christ, the sinner's representative. And here is comfort. Here is hope. because he is holy and he enters into the presence of God on the path of sinners, we can find in him acceptance with God. He is holy, harmless, undefiled. We need that because we're so defiled. We're so unholy. We're so sinful. We need one to represent us who is undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Christ is a suitable high priest, a suitable representative, and his intercession for us is characterized by this suitability. Not only in that he is holy, but in that he has offered up a sacrifice. Verse 27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, the high priests of the Old Testament, they offered many sacrifices, as we read earlier in the chapter. They were many high priests because they died. One had to replace another. And the sacrifices themselves had to be repeated because they had no spiritual efficacy. They could not really take away sins. But the point is, the Lord Jesus does not need to offer up sacrifice daily, again and again. For this he did once, we read. He did this one time when he offered up not a bullock, not a goat, not a calf, but he offered up himself. And he is God and man. Because he is man, he offered up himself a sacrifice. God absolutely considered could not die, but the one who is both God and man could and did die. And because he is both God and man, his sacrifice derived infinite value and did not need, therefore, to be repeated. It is one sacrifice at once. And here is divine power, efficacy, value. A divine sacrifice. Here is a Savior, here is a priest, here is a representative who is suited to our need. Such an high priest became us. Such an high priest is fitting for us. And his sacrifice is sufficient. And his intercession is sufficient. We read in 1 John chapter 2 that he is a righteous advocate. He is a representative, he is an advocate, one who speaks to someone on the behalf of others to represent their case. And he is called in that passage Jesus Christ the Righteous. Jesus Christ the Righteous. And we gather from that that, yes, as we considered already, he is holy. But also, he knows that we are sinners. He knows that we are defiled. And he is not going to hide that fact. But when he represents us, if we are believing in him, trusting him, when he represents us, he does not cover the fact that we are sinners, but he points to his own sacrifice as the ground, the basis of the sinner's forgiveness and acceptance with God. Jesus Christ the Righteous. So the point just now is that Christ is a sufficient Savior. He is adequate. He knows everything. He knows the whole state of the case. The child of God may be troubled about his or her sin. The Lord Jesus knows better than you do all your sins that you have committed all this day and last month and the year before and so on. He is Jesus Christ the Righteous and adequately represents your case. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the Righteous. And he is not only a necessary, suitable, and sufficient Savior, but an efficient Savior. He is efficient and able to accomplish the goal in view, the purpose of God in his intercession. We read in verse 25, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost." Here's a complete salvation. There is completeness in this. The Lord Jesus accomplishes fully the purpose of salvation. He is able also to save them to the uttermost. Who? That come unto God by him. Those that come unto God by him. We were thinking Sabbath morning about coming to Christ. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The prescription to come. Coming is a coming, not in a physical way, because Christ is in heaven. It is a coming of the heart. It is coming to Christ. Or, here in this verse, it is coming to God by him. When we come to Christ, we come to God through Christ. Coming to God by him. So, Christ makes intercession for those who come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Here's a complete salvation. He saves to the uttermost those who come to God by him. Why? Seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. He is always living. And he lives after the power of an endless life. The high priests of the Old Testament died one after another. But Christ lives and lives on. He is the resurrection and the life. And his intercession goes on and on for his people. Therefore, he saves them to the uttermost. The Lord Jesus said on one occasion, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." The child of God wonders, can I make it to the end? If I backslide, if I fall away, and I don't make it to the end, so to speak, I cannot be saved. But the Lord Jesus is a great high priest who makes intercession continually. He ever lives to make intercession for them, and therefore he is able to save them to the end, to the uttermost. Here is hope and comfort and security for the believer. Your pressing on to the end does not depend upon yourself, but upon the intercession of Christ, one who makes request in the behalf of others. He makes continual intercession for believers. Well, let us think for a moment more particularly about the intercession itself. And the larger catechism has a very helpful question and answer. How doth Christ make intercession? Answer, to question 55. Christ maketh intercession by his appearing in our nature continually before the Father in heaven, in the merit of his obedience and sacrifice on earth, declaring his will to have it applied to all believers, answering all accusations against them, and procuring for them quiet of conscience, notwithstanding daily failings, access with boldness to the throne of grace, and acceptance of their persons and services. Well, we don't have time to go into detail about the various parts of this answer, but it is a very helpful exercise indeed. In our text, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." We have brought before us this comfort that no one can condemn those who are represented by Christ. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No one can, because it is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? No one can condemn because Christ intercedes on their behalf. In other words, he answers all accusations and he pleads his own merit in the presence of God the Father. He declares his will that the merit of his obedience and sacrifice would be applied to believers, and that God would deal with them according to his sacrifice. In other words, that their sins would be forgiven, that they would be accepted. We read in John chapter 17 that Christ wills that God would do certain things for them. He declares his will. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. He says that to Simon Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. What love and compassion shines forth in the intercession of Christ. The Lord Jesus knew that Peter would fall, but he also prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. And Peter's being kept overall, and yes, falling at that time, but coming to repentance afterwards, that was all owing to the intercession of Christ. So the Lord's people are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, and they are kept through the intercession of Christ. Again, the Lord Jesus answers all the accusations. Who is he that condemns? It may be your conscience, it may be Satan, it may be a fellow believer, and we should not ignore the faithful rebukes of God's people. They do not always have it right, so to speak, and Satan certainly never has it right. We should qualify that. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But whatever the accusation is, true or false, Christ is the great high priest. He answers all accusations. And whatever we feel pricked in our conscience or harassed by Satan, we should be going to the great high priest, the advocate with the Father. In Zechariah chapter 3, we read that Satan resisted Joshua, the priest. And the angel, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. So Satan accuses. But very often he does have reason to accuse. There was Joshua, clothed with filthy garments, a picture of his sin that cleaved to him. But he stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him, that is unto Joshua, he said, Behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. So the Lord covers his people with his own righteousness. He makes intercession for them. He answers all the accusations. No one can condemn, because it is Christ who intercedes on their behalf. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And I believe that is the Lord Jesus himself, the angel of the covenant, the great high priest. Joshua was a typical high priest, pointing to the great high priest, the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, such an high priest, became us who who is holy, harmless, undefiled. And he offered up himself a sacrifice, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and who makes intercession for us. Well, the child of God again is encouraged to reflect upon the priesthood of Christ and his intercession. The one who has compassion on the ignorant and on the other out of the way, and who has a fellow feeling with our infirmities. We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched. He can be touched. He is tender-hearted. He knows all that you, child of God, are going through. The heartache, the difficulties, the questions that you have about the future. The Lord Jesus knows all. He is an adequate, sufficient high priest who knows the whole state of the case and adequately represents your case in the throne room of heaven. He sympathizes. He cares. Are you casting all your care upon him? What resolve then we should have to live for him and to think that though we are sinning continually, yet Christ is continually interceding, declaring his will to have his obedience and sacrifice, the merit of it, applied to believers. He answers all the accusations of conscience, of Satan, and whatever else, whoever else it may be. His blood cleanses from all sin. Then how we should have a purpose of heart to live for him who lives to intercede for us. Finally, for those who are yet unconverted or who may be confused about their state, ask yourself, what gives you peace of conscience? If you have any peace at all, where will you find true and lasting rest when your conscience pricks you and you are troubled about your sins? Is it that you will read your Bible more carefully? You will pray harder? Try to bridle your tongue more? We should be doing those things. But those things are not the ground, the proper ground of peace and comfort. You and I need an advocate. We need a representative. We need an intercessor. We need one to make requests on our behalf, to represent us in the courtroom of heaven. The one who knows your state and mine, and who properly, fittingly, adequately represents our case. The defendant usually never speaks, but Christ, the advocate of the Father, he speaks on your behalf if you are looking to him. He ever lives to make intercession for those who come to God by him. Come unto me, he is calling. Come unto me, I will represent you. I will give you rest. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Mr. DeVore, be great.
God, we come These things set me at odds. Lord, if he would intercede with our sins, and he would cleanse us, and he would reign over us, maybe most in our lives, he desires to follow him and to be like him, to be with him one day. These things we pray in Jesus' name.